Amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Seed, recognize seed by fruit. Recognize seed by fruit. If I can draw your attention to verse 23, where Peter said, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. All people are like grass, and all the glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you, for you have been born again." Anybody been born again? I'm born again. I'm born again. When I was younger, we used to sing a song that said, "To the river, baptized, I've been converted, and I feel all right. I've been born again. I've been born again." It was something they made you say a lot. I've been born again. Not just I go to church, but I'm born again. Not just I'm religious, I'm born again. Not just that I believe in God, I'm born again. Not just I'm Baptist, I'm born again. Not just that I'm Methodist, I'm born again. I'm a born again believer. I've been born again. I had a second birth. In other words, he says here, "For you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." In other words, a word, and I'll throw it on the screens. In other words, a word made me start over. A word made me stop the way I was going and say, "I can't go that way anymore. I got to change directions and go in another way. I got to change my mind." To repent means to change my mind, metanoia, for me to say, "This is the way I was going, but I can't go that way anymore." As a result of a word, I said, "I can start over." As a result of a word, I said, "All right, no matter what's happened up until this point, I can start all the way over. If anybody is in Christ, he can be a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." It's a part of what makes Christianity and a relationship with Jesus Christ different from any other world religion. In this particular moment, you can say, "All right, even if I've blown it, even if I have never had it together, right now, starting now, I can be born again." I can say, "All right, well, I might have messed up, but you know what? October 23rd, is that what it is? 22nd, 23rd, 2019, I decided I ain't going there no more. I'm not saying that no more. I'm not acting that way no more. I'm not telling that story no more. I'm not doing that thing no more. I'm done with complaining. I can be born again." Peter is saying, "Right, for you've been born again. You got a word, and that word made you hit the reset button. You heard a word. It was more than just, 'Oh, I want a blessing.' Praise God for a blessing. And all of us want a blessing. But what made you hit the reset button? What made you totally reevaluate everything you had ever thought up until that point? More than just being religious, more than just doing something that your mama or your grandmama told you to do, but there was a word that had an impact on you, and you were born again. You changed which direction you were going in. Peter is saying, "Yeah, for you have been born again." I'm talking to people who have been born again. I'm talking to people who hit the reset button as a result of a word. A word made me start over, that you've been born again, not of a perishable seed, but of an imperishable. The first seed that started you on the way to life was a perishable seed, because you're dying right now. But this is a second birth that's about an imperishable seed. It's a different kind of seed that has made you start over. And the thing that's interesting about this passage here in Peter is he kind of breaks down what kind of seed actually made you start over. What kind of seed actually made you born again? He says, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." That word there is the Greek word logos. It means the written word. So he says, "For you have been born again, number one, through the living and enduring logos of God. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring logos of God." The written word of God. The consistency of the written word. The tradition of consistent church worship. The church itself, part of it is that written tradition of the history of what other folk have experienced as a result of walking in a relationship with God. The written word. When I read the word, I'm not just seeing promises, but I'm also seeing a historical account of other people and their interaction with God. And as a result of looking at that, I'm born again. As a result of looking at that, I say, wow, God, if that's how you were with Abraham, then you can certainly be that way with me. Wow, God, if that's how you were with Moses, then you certainly can be that way with me. Wow, God, if that's the way you were Joseph, if you could give Joseph a dream, and even though he was thrown into a pit, and even though folks hated on him, but if he could go from the pit to the palace, wow, God, I'm going to hit the reset button, and I'm going to be born again of the Logos of God, by the written word of God, by the understanding of the tradition of the kingdom of God, because of church, because of us coming together and worshiping God together. I was talking to a couple of the young preachers, and my son Brian and Manny, and I was saying, we're going to have more conversations. All the young preachers, I'm saying, y'all going to have more and more conversations about what y'all going to do to get people to come to church. Because all the streaming is nice, but there is something that happens when you come together in a room with other believers. You can go ahead and say amen, because y'all are in church. For everyone that's watching live stream, listen, I'm not knocking you. I'm not upset with you. I'm just saying something happens when you're in the room, and something happens when believers of like-minded faith all say hallelujah at the same time, all worship at the same time, all say, God, I love you, that one will chase 1,000, two will put 10,000 to flight. That your strength grows exponentially when you actually are able to come together. And I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. And we have to keep talking about what it means for us to come together and worship together, because there's a power in us coming together. There's a power in church. There's a power in worship. And there's a born-again moment that happens in church. There's an inner service and had an experience and saw somebody and got around the saints and saw the tradition of people who have been believing God for longer than you. There is something about the Logos, the written consistency of it, that makes me hit the reset button and I'm born again by the living and enduring Logos of God. Then he goes on to say, because all people are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the rhema of God stands forever. The rhema, the spoken word, lives forever. The rhema of the Lord endures forever, and that is the rhema that was preached to you. So in the same passage, we got the Logos of God and the rhema of God. The rhema of God is the spoken word. The rhema of God is the word that you hear, what you hear by the Spirit, what you hear when the Lord is speaking to you. What you hear is the result of somebody's gifting or somebody's anointing or someone's charisma. It's possible for you to be moved by somebody that God's hand is on, and for you to hear a word in your own language and for it to impact you greatly and make you hit the reset button and start all the way over and decide, I was born again. But honestly, it takes both. You got to be careful that you're not so connected to a rhema speaker that the Logos don't got no power in you being born again. You want to be careful that you're not so hung up on a rhema speaker. Praise God for the rhema speakers. Praise God for the gifting and the anointing of the rhema speakers. But be careful that your hope and your relationship with God is not so built on a personality that you are not born again of any kind of Logos. There's got to be a word, my Lord. There's got to be a depth. At some point, you got to start start reading the Bible. At some point, you got to learn some scriptures. At some point, you got to get down in there. It's not enough for you to like a preacher. You better like Jesus. You better get into that logos. You better get into the consistency of the word, because a rhema is great, but it takes both, and we have to find the balance. We have to find the balance. Why am I talking so much about seed? Why am I taking this moment to say, right, for you're born again, right? You're born again, right? Wednesday night, y'all are born again. Not of a perishable seed, but of an imperishable. You're trying to be born again of something that will endure. Trying to be born again of something that is living and enduring. Something that is bigger than just whether or not you get your blessing. I'm not just born again by the promise of a blessing. A promise of the blessing may inspire me to get closer to the Lord. But when I get closer to him, I'm going to find out it ain't all going to be about blessing. There's going to be some parts about blessing. There's going to be some parts that's about maturity. There's going to be some parts about holiness. There's going to be some parts about stuff that's not easy to do. And I have to be careful. I'm a little nervous about a church that is only born again on a word about what God will do for you. What about the living and enduring? What about when stuff ain't going your way? What about when everything is not amazing? What about when it's raining? Can you only praise him when everything is amazing? Or can you say, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth? And I've learned how not just to be a fickle saint. I've learned that though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I've learned that I've got to have some death, because this reset button I hit, I am born again of something that is living and enduring. That's something that's bigger than just whether or not my needs got met at that moment. By the living and enduring word of God. And the reason why I'm talking about the seed is because the fruit is recognized by the seed. The fruit shows the seed. The fruit shows the seed. A part of the way we know what the seed is what the fruit is. That's how we know what seed was planted for you to actually be born again. When I was younger, I know I've told this story before, but when I was younger, my mother used to love to plant a garden. This is in Boston, Massachusetts. And my mama's people are from this place called Watcher Prig, Virginia. I don't know if you ever heard of it. And so my mama's grandmama, my great-grandmother, who I knew, used to plant and farm and all that stuff. And so here we are in Boston, and my mama got that farm girl in her, and she planting a garden. Every year, she got a garden out there. I don't know if you ever had a mama or anybody, you country people. I don't know if you ever had anybody that had a garden, but if you have a garden, you know that you have to tend it, and you have to take care of it, and you got to weed it, and you got to fertilize it, and you got to water it. And different kinds of seed need different kinds of tending. And my job was to water the thing. The thing about watering the garden is that there was no fancy sprinklers, okay? Why would we need a sprinkler when I got you? You got to stand out there with that hose in the dusk. Y'all don't know. Right in the cool of the, as the sun is going down, as you're dodging mosquitoes that are dive bombing you and slapping that stuff. And my mama is looking at me through the screen. I know you're watching, Ma. You remember this. That my mama's looking at me through the screen saying, make sure you get my collards. Make sure you get my tomatoes. And I'm like, make sure you come out here and water this garden yourself. No, I didn't say that, but I was thinking it. But anyway, what I'm saying is that we knew what they did was we took the seed packet with the picture and put it on a stick near it so that you will know what's in the row until it grows. We don't know these are tomatoes till they pop up. And then we get a chance to say, this is a tomato. We planted tomato seeds here. So how we tend tomatoes and how we tend collards aren't the same thing. I know the seed by the fruit. I understand that I know what the seed was by the fruit that is shown. And I don't know about you, but we're living in difficult times when we can't even tell who's saved and who ain't saved. My God. We are living in difficult times when we can't tell who is a Christian and who really knows the Lord and who just goes to church and is just trying to be religious and trying to polish it up. That today, people bear fruit that makes me wonder about the seed. People do stuff that makes me wonder, were you actually born again? Or were you just trying to get God to bless you for a minute? Did you really hit a reset button and really start all the way over and really say, God, be in control of my life. Lord, rule in my affairs. Did you ever come to a place in yourself in which you said, Lord, I got to start this thing all the way over. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I was saying. And I have decided to be born again, not of a perishable seed, but of an imperishable through a living and enduring word. If someone wonders if you are a Christian, the answer should be obvious. You ought to be easily recognizable as a believer. People ought to be able to tell that you're a Christian. If people speak shock at you being a Christian, I would suggest that you got some fruit to work on. People do a triple take. Oh, my God. You go to church, then you need to think about what kind of fruit's hanging off of you, because really a seed should be recognized by the fruit it bears. If you wonder if you are a Christian, the answer should be obvious. Every now and then, the enemy will try to attack you and tell you you ain't saved. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. I know. Every now and then, the enemy will try to attack you and tell you, you don't know God. He ain't listening to your prayer. He ain't going to do nothing for you. You ain't met no Martin Luther King. You ain't going to do nothing right. Every now and then, there's an attack, and you ought to know by your own fruit. The word says that we will have confidence on the day of judgment because in this world we are like him. Anybody know that, Pastor? Because in this world we are like him. I don't know about you, but I don't plan on being in the judgment line, moving from one leg to another, thinking, who judging today? That's not, I plan to be standing there boldly and in confidence because while I was in the earth, there was some fruit that I showed. I know I'm saved. Because I'd have cussed somebody out by now. I know I'm saved because somebody would have got knocked out yesterday. I know I'm saved that you don't find out how saved you are till you start bearing some fruit. And you start saying, you know what? The Lord really has got a hold of me because there was a time when I would have laid holy hands on you. But now I have turned the other cheek. No, I have decided to let you go. One of the operations pastor, Pastor Colin, who runs the operations of the church, I've been mentoring that dude for 20 years. When I first got him, good God, help us, Holy Ghost. When I see him now, I'm like, look at what the Lord has done. What I'm saying is, just the other day, I was saying to him, man, I'm proud of you because I know a Colin that would have knocked somebody out for that a little while ago, and he said, yeah, I know I've been saved. Anybody can say that? I know I've been saved. I know I've been saved. The angels in heaven have signed my name. I've been changed. God has changed me. I'm not what I used to be. How I used to be, I'm not that way no more. Where I used to go, I don't go that way no more, and I need to see some fruit for me to be able to sleep at night. For me not to be afraid to close my eyes and think I'm gonna wake up in hell. I know I'm not the only one who used to pray that prayer and still do pray it. Every now and then, I'll be like, now I lay me down to sleep. Oh, my Lord, help me. Every now and then, I'll close my eyes and be like, Lord, if I cussed anybody out today, Lord, if I lied today, Lord, if I had evil thoughts today, good God, Lord, forgive me, Lord, because I know I'm imperfect. I need to see that I'm saved. I need to see that I'm saved, so I'll pray with confidence. I need to see that I'm saved so that I can have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world, I was like him, meaning I bore some fruit of the seed I'm from. I look like him. I look like Jesus. I know I didn't use this analogy a whole lot, but it bears repeating. That Maury Povich show, I used to watch that thing. I used to love the DNA test show. I'm so sorry, but I used to love the DNA test show. Raheem, you are the, I used to love that. And they put the person's picture on the thing, and you see that baby, and they show the dude, and you be like, everybody be boo, because that baby will look so much like the father that we know I ought to look like Jesus. There ought to be fruit that I ought to exude. There ought to be fruit that I ought to bear that show that Jesus is my debt, that the seed that I was born of is an imperishable seed through the living and enduring Word of God. I should be producing fruit so that I can be recognized by that fruit. Sure, I want to be recognized by my blessing. That's how we all want to be recognized. We want somebody to look at us and say, how did that happen for you? How do you have a thing like that? How do you have a house like that? How do you have a blah, blah, blah like that? And you can say, this is the Lord's doing. Marvelous in my eyes. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, I would even have this. But God made a way where there was no way. We all want that testimony, and I got a testimony. And I want a testimony when people look at stuff and almost are a little bit upset and think, how did you rate this? And I can say, that's right. Don't be mad at the favor of God. Don't hate on me. Don't hate the player. Hate the guy. For me to be like, yes, God has been so good to me. He really has been good to me more than this whole world could ever be. He's been good to me. Yeah, I want to be recognized by my blessing. He wiped all my tears away. He turned my darkness into day. And I say, thank you, Lord, because he's blessed me. Sure, I want to be recognized by the blessing. Sure, I want to be recognized by the gift of God. Of course you want to be recognized by the gift of God. Of course you want somebody to say, how could you know that? And for you to say, the wisdom of God, the Spirit of God. Lord gave me a dream. Lord gave me a vision. God spoke something to me the other day. God said something to me. There's a gift that the Lord has given to me. Of course I want to be recognized by the gift. But the Lord Jesus said, well, yeah, but if you make a tree good, their fruit will be good. And if you make a tree bad, their fruit will be bad, because a tree is recognized by its fruit. The seed is shown by the fruit that it bears. And so we asked the question a couple of weeks ago, and I'm asking it again tonight in a few minutes I have remaining. And that question is, well, are you of the world or of the Word? Are you of the world or of the Word? The Bible says that we're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. In the world, but not of the world. Meaning that you're supposed to be able to be in it, but not of it. Now, I know that what we've done is we just decided to not be in it. We're not going to be in it, so we won't be tempted to be of it. But if you really are a believer, then you can be in it and not of it. I know that we just figure, well, I just want to only work and be around. I get that. But if you really are saved, you can be saved at a school where everybody ain't saved. You're not really saved if you can only be saved at a saved school. You don't really know the Lord if you can only love him around other people that love him. You know him when you can be around that stuff and it don't get on the inside of you. So am I of the Word or of the world? How do I know? What is the fruit that I am bearing? Am I bearing fruit that the world has prompted me to want to bear? Or am I bearing fruit based on what the Word tells me to do? Is it my world? Is it my day? Is it my generation? Is it, well, the way my generation is we do blah, 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 blah. Sounds awesome, sounds great. But are you producing fruit in keeping with your generation? Or are you producing fruit in keeping with what the word says? Because your generation will pass away. All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field, and the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. I know you think your technology is so amazing, but believe me, 30 years from now, they're going to be laughing at you with your phone. When people can just beep, 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 and hit their head and talk to people. And I don't know what's going to happen next. But you know how I know? Because I remember when the VCR came out. Y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. I remember the VCR tapes. That was awesome. I know I'm not the only one. Speak, old people. Where you had to pull a little tab out so people won't tape over your stuff. That was a miracle. I remember 8-track tapes. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Whole album had to be good because you couldn't rewind that thing. I remember when the cassette came out. I remember the Walkman. Get out of my church. I remember the Walkman. I remember when you could take your music with you in a... I remember dudes walking around with a box. Shut up, Pastor Andy, I do. I remember guys in the back of the bus, whole place, bumping over a cassette tape. I remember a tape being so good. Y'all don't even know what I'm saying. I remember a tape being so good that the little metal thing with the little furry thing in there came out, and the tape wouldn't play without that furry thing with the metal thing. I remember unscrewing that thing. You don't know what I'm talking about, son, and taking them reels out and putting them reels over here because I needed to hear Atlantic Star all in the name of love. I remember that. That thing is gone. I remember Blockbuster Video. I remember walking through. Shut up. I remember walking through and picking out tapes and looking at stuff. And your girl being like, over here. And I'll be like, no, we got to rent this. I remember rewinding it before I took it back. Shut up. I remember... The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word endures forever. You couldn't tell me nothing about no Blockbuster Video. That was the spot. That changed the game. Half of y'all in here are born because of a Blockbuster Video tape. Instead of going to the movies, you and your mom and dad was on a couch. That's how you got here. Blockbuster changed the game. And they gone. That glory is gone. You better be born again of something better than what your generation thinks right now and what is popular right now. Oh, help us. You better get about something that's more than just what your people think. Well, right now, Pastor Andy, you understand everybody's getting tattoos all the way across their forehead. Well, that is gonna pass away. And I really do hope that when you 47, you're going to think having Winnie the Pooh right here is going to be a hot thing. I hope you keep that skin tight so that Winnie ain't rolled over like a dead. I really do hope that. I really do hope that your 57-year-old self will love a dead bear on their arm. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And before you go tattooing hoopa dupa in Chinese down your thigh, you better think about it for a second. A, do you really know Chinese? B, did it really say peace and love and hair grease? You don't know what it say. The grass withers and the flowers fall. Are we keeping fruit in keeping with our generation, son? Or are we saying, look, I've got to get about something that is going to endure past boomers and past Xers and past millennials and past, why, who the next one? Wise. I got to get about something that is living and enduring. When people recognize me, I don't want them to just recognize me as an Xer. I want them to recognize me as a believer. I want them to recognize me as a Christian. I don't want to just be recognized as an American. I want to be recognized as a Christian. What is the fruit that I ought to be bearing to show that Christ is in my life and I'm born again? Well, Peter just breaks it down. In 1 Peter, he just says, all right, let me give you some ideas and some stuff that ought to be in you if you're a believer. If you're a Christian, you ought to be recognized by some of this stuff. The first thing, I'm calling it fruit of the word. And I think I gave you a couple of them last time. But I said the first one was that my mind is prepared. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, he said, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, with my mind made up. I said, number one, that if the word is in me, then it ought to get my head together. If the word is in me, then I ought to have my thoughts right. If my head is together, then my mind ought to be prepared. That I should be learning from the past, I should be maximizing the present, and I need to be preparing for the future. I need to learn from what happened when I was 16. I need to be feeling this 51 right here, because this 51 right here is something, and I need to be getting ready for 85, because it's coming. That I need to get my mind ready, that a prepared mind is a fruit of the word, an alert mind, a ready for action mind is a second fruit, that I'm looking for action. I'm looking for what is the next step. I'm looking for what is the next thing that I'm going to do. It's so interesting when I have a conversation with someone and they tell me all these things that they think, and then I say, okay, so what you gonna do now? And they say, I don't know. What is the point of all this thinking if you don't know the action? What is the point of all this discussion if you don't know what you're going to do next? Or what you're going to do next? You know, right now I'm trying to figure that out. Okay, well, it don't make any sense for us to be doing all this talking and you're not going to do any action. That if you really are a believer and you're bearing the fruit of the word, that faith without work is dead, faith without deeds is dead, and there ought to be some action that accompanies your amen. Praise God for saying amen, but when you get done saying amen, you better get out there and put the word into practice. I remember this one time in which I heard this powerful prophetic dude, and he was talking about how God spoke to him in the middle of the night, how God woke him up and called his name, spoke to him, gave him this word. And I was in a service like this one, and I was like, oh, my Lord, there you go, God. When I went home that night, I'm like, Lord, that's what I want. I am looking for you to say something to me. Come on, angel. Come on, Jesus. Give me something. And the Lord really did speak to me that night. And you know what he said to me? He said, why would I tell you anything new when you didn't do the last thing? Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. Why would I give you new orders when you have orders unfinished? How about you do what I told you last year? I want a new word. I'm looking for a new anointing. I need a new word. Before you get a new word, can you do anything about the old word? Can you do, what about 2018's word? What about 2015's word? Can I do, am I ready for action? Am I prepared to move? Then the third thing that he says in verse 13 is he says, get your minds alert, ready for action, and fully sober. Self-controlled. It's a fruit of the Spirit that there is a sober mind, that I am aware and I realize it's time to be serious. This is not a time to be high. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost, millennials. I love y'all. This is not the time to eat weed. This is not the time to be drinking. No, this is not the time. This is a time to be sober. Are you watching the news with this president? This is the time to be sober-minded. This is the time to get up in the morning and read the paper and read the Bible and pray in the Holy Ghost and pray in English. This is a time to be alert. This is a time to be aware. This ain't no time to be chilling. This is a time to be sober-minded and self-controlled. You may not be able to control other people, but you ought to be able to control yourself. If you open up your mouth and say, I don't know what I might do. I don't know what I'm getting ready to do. You better watch out because I don't know what I might do. What do you mean you don't know what you might do? If anybody ought to know what you might do, it ought to be you. Being self-controlled is the fruit of the Spirit. Self-control, not pastor control. Self-control, not mama control. You know, every time I get around my mama, I just act right. That's nice. But you better be able to act right when you're not around your mama. I don't know if I ever told y'all the story of how I was in my office and you know, it doesn't happen a lot, but somebody came and said, Pastor Andy, you know, and they were telling me about somebody's situation, and I was like, wow, that's horrible. My goodness, you know what? Give me their number. And so they gave me their number, and I called them. The phone rang, and they picked up. They said, hello, and I said, yes, can I speak to you? Blah, 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 blah. And they were like, she's not here right now. And I was like, oh, wow, okay. Well, can you tell her that Pastor Andy called from Motor Overcomers? Oh, Pastor Andy, that you? I'm like, oh, so I sound like a bill collector? What happened? You don't know who's calling you. You don't want to be different around the pastor than you are when you're by yourself. One of the biggest times I got in trouble was I said around my mama, you know, it's Sunday, I can't be cussing. And my mother was like, you can't be cussing on a Sunday. What are you trying to say? Can you control yourself? Can you say what you're going to do? You ought to be able to trust you. There's already enough people you can't trust without you not being able to trust you. Oh, I need a witness in the... This world is already full of people that will lie to you without you lying to yourself. This world is already full of enough folk who are trying to take advantage of you without you taking advantage of your own self. If you ought to be able to trust anybody, you ought to be able to trust yourself. That there is a time for sobriety. There is nothing worse than silliness in a time to not be silly. There's a time for laughter, and there's a time to be serious and work and make some money. And I would contend that most of us in here are too broke to be silly. Oh, I wish I had a witness in the building. This is a time for sober-mindedness. And that sober-mindedness is a fruit of the Spirit. That means that I am serious and focused, that a part of the fruit that I'm bearing is not, I don't think about none of that. No, that I am serious, I am alert, I'm ready for action, I got my head together. Because I realize that I only have one life to live. Lord, it's come that I'll have life and that more abundantly. God, that we'll have life and that more abundantly. I can't have a serious life with a foolish mind. I got to let this mind be in me that's in Christ Jesus. And I got to bear fruit in keeping with the word of God. Not just what people think, but what the word says. Put your hands together if you heard a word from the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Jump on your feet, reach out, grab somebody's hand. Let's pray for one another. Lord, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for living so big in us tonight. Thank you, Lord God, for this group that gathered together. Thank you for the group that's watching live stream around the world, around the area. Thank you, Lord God, for your plans that you have for us that are good, plans not to harm us, plans to give us hope in a future. God, not only do we speak this word over this group, we speak this word, Lord God, over everybody that's connected to us in this group, all of our children, even the ones that aren't even born yet, all of our friends and neighbors. And God, not only them, but God, we speak it over the area. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke the foul spirit over the area that would try to hinder us from walking in the light of the kingdom of God. God, I pray that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that you would raise up a standard against him. Thank you for living so big in us today. Thank you for speaking to us and through us. Thank you, Lord God, for blessing us, but also, God, thank you for using us to establish your kingdom. And we pray tonight, let your kingdom come and your will be done. Let your kingdom come and your will be done in my brother and my sister. And let your kingdom come and your will be done in North Carolina. And God, use us to do it. Don't just bless us, use us. This is our earnest plea. More love, O Christ, to thee. More love to thee, Lord. More love to thee. Thank you for being with us tonight. Dismiss us, watch over us, protect us, bring us back on Sunday, God, as we come back for Sunday church in all of the locations and all of the services. And God, we pray as we always pray. Let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. For God, you're our rock and you're our redeemer. And we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. We all sit together. Amen. God bless you. Greet somebody in the name of the Lord. Give somebody a holy hug. You are dismissed. God bless you. Thanks for coming to church tonight. God bless you. God bless you.